Oh, should I do the dance now? Oh, yeah. What? No, I'm going to.
Facebook's running.
We got it. We are the American League Central champs, man. Woo! Look at this whiteness dance. Who's shaking that Wonder Bread? Yeah. Okay. I think I actually hurt myself. I threw up my back. All right. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Matt is happy. Matty happy. Oh, boy. I can't root for the Chicago White Sox, but, boy, I did enjoy watching the Cleveland Indians lose. And there we go. So got that. And how about this? I mean, I don't know if this has ever happened before, but the Minnesota United, they clinched a playoff spot last night, too. Have we ever had two teams in the same day clinch a playoff spot?
Same day?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I'm trying to think of how that would happen.
It would. I mean, the Lynx, no, wouldn't it be a Lynx? They're too early in the season for baseball. Yeah, I think that's. Maybe the only way I think it could happen would be maybe NBA and hockey could possibly do it.
Yeah,
but maybe. The T-Wolves in the playoffs, the Wild in the playoffs.
Those are not teams to make the playoffs for real.
Oh, that's rich. And then how about this? Lizzo became the longest, she's been at number one longer than any other female rap artist with her latest song.
Wow.
So
pretty good.
Yeah, yes.
Pretty good.
New man on the Minnesota Vikings. Indeed, Lizzo. She's my girlfriend. Did you know that? She is my girlfriend. I love her.
You didn't know that. I'm a little jealous now.
Well, my wife is not too happy, but sometimes you have to keep things in perspective. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We have an insane amount of things to get to, including we're going to talk a lot of national stuff here because we have to. We just have to at this point. But let's start off with Buttman. Have you heard about Buttman?
Maybe not the same one you're talking
about. Well, okay. No, this is Roger Svedson walks the 3.5-mile path around Lake Phalen. I'm pretty good at spotting them, he says. Uh-oh. Roger is on the hunt for butts. Cigarette butts. You got to see him. You got to get him. He says, they don't come jumping out. Roger bends at the waist, picks up another. I got three, he says proudly. By the way, dude, who is still smoking that much? I mean, what is a French AA meeting over there at the Lake Phalen?
I don't know. You see him everywhere, though.
Oh, when we do Earth Day, we do Earth Day pickup in my neighborhood, even though I don't notice that many people smoking in my neighborhood anymore. They really don't. You have to really go to the state fair for that magic anymore. But you go through the neighborhood, by far, it's insane how many cigarette butts are out there. And you know, if I can just say this thing, cigarette smokers, you're really wondering why people have an issue with it. You know, it's all around kind of, gotta pick up your trash.
Yeah, those cigarette butts stick around forever.
Yeah, they do.
That fiberglass filter.
I mean, seriously, every Earth Day, without a doubt. Trash, no, it's cigarette butts. He finds butts exposed. He finds butts in cracks. He has a knack for finding them. Lake Phalen Buttman. That is his title. It's a funny moniker Roger takes seriously. Okay, Roger, you're the only one that does, man. and ladies, be on the lookout. Look out for the butt man. His daily record, 3,000 cigarette butts. Seriously, Phalen? What? Are the ducks smoking? They are city ducks. I wouldn't put it past them, man.
Or those transient geese.
those Canadian damn geese coming into our state smoking in camel wides while they're out there.
Duty-free cigarettes.
Duty-free Canadian geese cigarette smoking. 3,000 cigarette butts in one day. Wow. Someone has some issues around Phalen. I'm just going to call it. Good for him. I tell you what, Raj, you are doing that's something no one else is going to do. You deserve a lot of credit for it. I would say you need a marketing team, because Buttman, well, if you put a website out there, you're going to get some feedback. You're going to get the feedback with you. Yeah. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I'm going to, let's go with, first of all, the whistleblower complaint, which was released for the most part. I'm going to break down here because this is, NewsHour has have broke down the nine issues here that I am, I would say that this is the, this, you know, this is, he needs to go. And for all you Republicans out there, all you Republicans, he has no excuse anymore. Nor do you, for two reasons. One, that was your whole excuse under Russia. Well, he didn't realize it. Well, Russia, at least the Russians came to him, allegedly. Now he's going to Ukraine for this. So there's no way in the world you can say, well, he didn't know better. He, of course, knew he shouldn't be doing this. And then, reminder, all you whiny little far-right twits, listen up. You sat there and got so upset about Hillary's secret server. Hillary's server. Ooh, you're stashing phone call transcripts onto private servers that are not supposed to be available to the public. You're doing the exact same thing you criticized Hillary for. The whistleblower complaint. I shall read through these things. Here are the nine issues. In the course of my official, and I'm reading off the complaint. We'll do this one by one here. In the course of my official duties, I have received information from multiple U.S. government officials that the President of the United States is using the power of his office to solicit interference from a foreign country in the 2020 U.S. election. This interference includes, now this is, the whistleblower starts off with the meat of his or her concern that President Trump is abusing the power and asking a foreign country to interfere in the 2020 election. Notably, the whistleblower says the information came from multiple government officials. Also interesting is the use of the present tense that the president is using his office inappropriately. So currently is. Two, I was not a direct witness to most of the events described. However, I found my colleagues' accounts of these events to be credible because in almost all cases, multiple officials recounted fact patterns that were consistent with one another. In addition, a variety of information consistent with these private accounts has been reported publicly. The whistleblower acknowledges that he or she does not have firsthand information about these allegations, but does do a very good job saying, you know, but the you know, indeed, it does, you know, have merit here. Number three, I was not the only non-White House official to receive a readout of the call. Based on my understanding, multiple State Department and intelligence community officials were also briefed on the contents of the call as outlined above. The whistleblower does not work at the White House, but he got a readout of the call as part of his or her work. Number four, what they viewed as Mr. Giuliani's circumvention of national security dissemination process to engage with the Ukrainian officials and relay messages back and forth between Kiev and the president, the officials have also told me. Rudy Giuliani comes up through the complaint. He is and is also at the time Trump's personal lawyer, does not have a foreign policy role or a White House job. The whistleblower notes that multiple officials were not happy with Giuliani acting as an intermediary between the Ukraine and the president of the United States. During the same time frame, multiple U.S. officials told me that the Ukrainian leadership was led to believe that the meeting or phone call between the president and the president of the Ukraine would depend on whether the president of the Ukraine showed willingness to play ball, in quotes, on the issues that had been publicly aired by Mr. Giuliani. Note, this was also a general understanding of the state of affairs as conveyed to me by U.S. officials from late May into early July. I do not know who delivered this message to the Ukrainian leadership or when on that. So, the section is key to the idea of whether Trump was leveraging his office, notably access and pressure to the Ukrainians. On June 13th, the president told ABC's George Stephanopoulos he would accept damaging information on his political rivals from a foreign government. Trump's response to a question about it after Russian offer of compromising information to Hillary Clinton in 2016 and accept similar information in the future. Also, in mid-July, I learned of a sudden change in policy with respect to U.S. assistance for Ukraine. On July 18, 2019, Trump ordered to withhold nearly $400 million in aid to Ukraine that had been previously allocated. According to multiple White House officials I spoke with, the transcript of the president's call with the president of the Ukraine was placed into a computer system managed directly by the National Security Council Directorate for Internet Intelligence Programs. This is a standalone computer system reserved for code word level intelligence information, such as covert action, according to information I received from the White House officials. The whistleblower suggesting unusual, possibly illegal moves to cover up records of the president's conversations with the president of the Ukraine, who placed the records in separate code word level system. Who's under whose orders? Why did they do that? And then finally, according to White House officials I spoke with, is a not the first time under this administration that the presidential transcript was placed into the code word leveled system solely for the purpose of protecting politically sensitive information rather than national security information. So basically, he's saying that there are multiple phone calls that have been placed into this super secret code word, you know, server that is not for transcripts of phone calls. But they put him in there to prevent people from seeing what he's been saying, which should open up the next question. Who else has he asked for help in the 2020 election? Has he asked any other countries, the Philippines, maybe North Korea? Has he helped them from Biden, or did he spread it around? Is he looking for information on Elizabeth Warren from the Philippines, and is he looking for information from Guatemala on Buttigieg? Is he looking for information on Sanders from North Korea? Is that what he's doing? Because that is actually a legit question right now. It gets worse. How is it? It gets worse. President Trump on Thursday told a group of about 50 people in a private event at the United Nations General Assembly that the whistleblower who came forward with information that Trump pressured the Ukrainian president to investigate his political rival Joe Biden was close to a spy. The New York Times reports, "I want to know who this person who gave the whistleblower the information, because that's close to a spy," Trump reportedly said, according to a source within the notes of the president's remarks. "You know what we used to do in the old days when we were smart with spies and treason, right? We used to handle it a little differently than we do now." The comments reportedly stunned people in the audience, but are in line with Trump's persistent efforts to dispel the whistleblower complaint. Basically, he's threatening violence to hang this person because they dare to point out that he was abusing his office to pressure Ukraine into getting him dirt on a political rival by dangling aid in front of them. That alone, threatening a whistleblower, is a federal offense. Just to let you know, why not pile them on? It is a federal offense for a government official to threaten a whistleblower. That is punishable with prison time. And he just did. Oh, I'm sure he'll. Oh, well, I didn't realize what I was playing. The reality is that he doesn't have anywhere to go with this, because he's a stupid idiot. He's a moron. The president of the United States is as dumb as a brick. And he thought he was going to get away with this. And now this is cut and dry. The only question I have at this point is, what excuse are the Republicans going to make to try to basically say, hey, even though we kept him in office, I was sure disgusted by his crimes. Because I can't wait for the 2020 election is going to be, oh, the aroma's already, folks. The aroma's already. Let's get Kurt in Minneapolis here before we go to the break. Welcome on in, Kurt.
I don't know. I don't really know Lake Phelan. Is that St. Paul? Is that an urban lake or what?
Yeah, it's in the Twin Cities here.
So I live over by Lake Harriet, and I was thinking about 3,000 cigarettes for one person to collect in a day is a lot. But I think here's how it happens, and I see this around Lake Harriet, where there's a lot of parking. And you walk around the lake, and you get over towards the gutter of the street, and people, for whatever reason, they're hanging out in their cars, and they take the old ash tray, and they just dump it out on the street. And for some reason, when you're at the lake, you dump your cigarette butts from your car ashtray right onto the street. And that's where we find a lot of them, and that'd be Lake Harriet. But it's disheartening because there's a lot of them.
Well, and, you know, you have to ask, when people who smoke cigarettes ask why are people against us smoking? Why does smoking get such a bad rap? I don't know. Why don't you look at your trash you leave all over the place? That's part of the problem, too.
Amen to that.
Kurt, thank you very much. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Do want to remind you, we have a pair of tickets a little bit later on to give away to Seaver's Fall Festival. Ooh la la, that's right. If you haven't been down there, it's fantastic. New location down in Shakopee. Lots of family fun. A pair of tickets sometime this hour for you. Keep listening for your chance to call in. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Busting out of this prison,
even rising you. The Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates and private dining room for parties available. Located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Native Roots Radio is proud to announce we've added an extra hour.
Yeah, Chuchka, 1 hour goes by too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
I'll have extra time to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national and Native news from all over the country and Canada.
This new hour is sponsored by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m.
We are awake.
Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. It's clearance time at Rudy Luther Toyota. The 2019s not only feature low clearance pricing, but most vehicles have huge factory rebates from Toyota as well. I love the RAV4. In my opinion, it's hands down the best city driving, country driving vehicle ever made. Right now, there are 200 RAV4s available in stock at Rudy Luther, and qualified buyers could receive 1.9% financing. Test drive one today and upgrade your fall. Rudy Luther Toyota, on the southeast corner on 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak.
And I'm Adam Ostrowski.
We are here at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces to talk about outdoor fires. Sitting around a fire is the oldest, most basic form of human activity.
What's new is in the way fire is burned. We can show you how to burn cleaner with a lot less smoke.
The radiant heat and light from an open fire is unmatched. It kindles our spirits and connects us to the outdoors. And now it's easier to experience and enjoy.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces sells and installs wood and gas burning fire pits and fireplaces. Let us help you experience an outdoor fire without all the smoke.
Come see the many ways you can enjoy a fire outdoors.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Join over 300,000 Minnesota families by choosing Warner Stelling to be your appliance specialist. Our customers have helped us be very good at selling, installing, and servicing appliances. We work hard to earn your business. Choose Warner Stelling to be your appliance specialist.
I don't know. Could Phelan, because it's in St. Paul? Is that why they're smoking so much over there? They get
That's
the smoking ducks?
That's probably it.
I have no idea.
St. Paul related.
I have a hard time comprehending how you can get 3,000 cigarette butts in one day out there. I mean, that's like, you know, here comes the French chain smoking team. Off they go. Phil is in New York State. Welcome on in, Phil. Thank you very much for giving us a ring.
Hi, Matt. You know, regardless of whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, if you put that aside and you just look at the psychological makeup of our president, he is one sociopathic, disturbed individual. There's just no two ways about it.
Nope, you really can't. No, he is so clinically narcissistic and needy for attention. I mean, there will be people for centuries that will write books about how pathetic of a mental mind he was. I mean, sure, I have no doubt that there's, for years to come, there are going to be people like, people misunderstand Trump. No, he's really easy to understand. He's a pathetic loser who basically needs to feel like he's in charge
And, you know, he's a guy that, if not for his dad's money, would be a guy that no one in the office liked. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Hey, man, thanks for the call from New York. 952-946-6205. By the way, just an FYI for you. This is a new YouGov poll that came on out on impeachment over Ukraine scandal. The numbers here are a total. 55% of people total feel as if Trump should be impeached. 55%. Now, that's 44% strongly support or 11% somewhat support. 55. That seems like it's more than half. I think it is. A total of 76% of Democrats, 51% of independents, but the shocker, 32% of Republicans think he should be impeached. 32%. 32%.
That's huge.
That is, wow. That is nuts. So once again, 55% feel he should be impeached, and 32% of Republicans think he, that's a third of the Republican Party thinks he should be impeached for this. So before you, and once again, let me explain something to all you Republicans who are listening, and I know you're listening, dude, you know, you're kind of pathetic that way. You hate listen. thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. But let me make sure you understand something. If 33% of your own party thinks he should be impeached, and you're going to try to win a general election, you're not going to win a general election. You're not going to win a general election. You're just not, because you don't have enough of your own base to follow you through. You might win. As a matter of fact, here's the real problem for you. 66% of Republicans. It's 32, which means that 68%, well, let's see here, it's 32% are strongly support, and 49% of Republicans are either somewhat opposed or strongly opposed. So, you know, if you factor all that together, almost half your party doesn't want him impeached. So to win your primary, you're going to have to sit there and snuggle on into the folds of Trump. But you'll have to snuggle on in there like a bedtime cheeseburger and say how much you love the guy and how much he's your pal. And then come to the general election, you're going to have to beg that no one has paid attention to your primary campaign and said, I had concerns about him as well. Hoping that you don't alienate the far-right racist Republicans that you need to show up to have any chance whatsoever. Good luck. Good luck on that math equation. I don't think it's there. And by the way, this poll was taken before the whistleblower complaint was released. Brad is in Robbinsdale. Let's let Brad come on in here. Welcome on in, Brad.
Okay, well, again, a pundit over the weekend said that, you know, the fish rots from the head down and is now part of this conspiracy. You've got Pence, Barr, Mulvaney, Mnuchin, and the jester himself, Rudolph Giuliani. But I want to just say, I thought that you are wrong in your prediction that Trump will resign, and for two reasons. First is that he really believes that he is the chosen one and that he is just doing a stupendous, you know, perfect job as president. And the second is that he realizes that when he's out of office, you know, he is liable for criminal prosecution and that they're going to throw the book at him.
Okay, and Brad, thank you very much. Here's where Trump needs the Republican Party to be loyal. And if the Republican Party turns on him, I mean, he's Muammar Gaddafi, you know, hiding out in drainage, you know, pipes and stuff like that. I mean, he's Saddam Hussein buried out in the desert in a cave. I mean, that's who Trump is. If he doesn't have anyone, he will run. As a matter of fact, the head of the Veterans Affairs Department under Harding was so corrupt. I mean, this guy was as corrupt as they get. Now, this was early 1920s. He went around and to start building veterans hospitals across the country, they basically were overcharging the federal government and he was pocketing the money on these. Then he started just buying land, would grossly overstate the cost, pay the price, and then pocket that money. Then he started selling off the surplus World War I medical supplies. He was as corrupt as they come. And in Harding's administration, that's saying something. The Secretary of the Interior sold off the Navy's oil supply, for God's sakes. So for this guy to get called into Harding's office and be dressed down for this, what did he do? He ran to Europe. He literally fled. The Director of Veterans Affairs. I think that if the Republican Party turned on him, if all of a sudden it was a case where, you know, they did that thing with Nixon, they said, we just don't have the support to keep you in office anymore. If at that point, I wouldn't be surprised if he resigned, ran to an airplane, flew to a foreign country and never came back. Lived in Moscow or lived in Saudi Arabia and never came back. I would not be surprised because that's and he would, you know, he'd live his life on Twitter talking about how he was wronged. He was wrong. Fake news. They made it up. I had to flee because of the liars, and his supporters will buy it. And his supporters will eat it up. My guess is that I don't know if it will ever get that bad for him. But I'm going to guess at some point here, especially when the articles of impeachment are getting voted on in the House, and you do see some Republicans break with the party and vote to impeach him, my guess is that the Senate Republicans are going to send a delegation over to the White House and sit there and say, do not make us do this. Do not make us, don't kill us in the Senate, or at the same time, don't make us have to throw you out of office. We don't want to do this. Whether he listens or not remains to be seen. But my gut feeling is that Donald Trump will not live in the United States after he is done with his term in office. I think he will flee the country and live out the rest of his days. I don't think he'll even be at the next inauguration. I don't think he will. So then again, my biggest fear right now is that, you know, Russia or Ukraine or Israel or one of these countries that loves this guy and elements in that country that love Trump will try to assassinate the Democratic nominee a few days before the election. That's something that scares the living daylights out of me, if you want to know the truth. Because that's, I think, the only way at this point this guy has a chance. I really honestly do. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
The Fall St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, will be running the weekend of October 11th, 12th, and 13th. This is a must-do experience that you will love. The St. Paul Art Crawl showcases the diversity of art that St. Paul has to offer. By nurturing a vibrant arts community, the Art Crawl inspires artistic growth and fosters a creative exchange of ideas. Throughout the weekend, you'll have the chance to explore fabulous art while touring through local artist studios, lofts, and galleries. Hosting over 350 artists, up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. And when you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community with a free transit pass for Saturday and Sunday. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the art crawl. Be sure to get all the details at stpaulartcrawl.org. That's stpaulartcrawl.org. Connections Radio Show this Saturday will be featuring part one of the Fall St. Paul Art Crawl Artist Connections Conversations. The Fall St. Paul Art Crawl takes place October 11th, 12th, and 13th. During our Connections Radio Show, we'll be talking about oil painting, flute playing, and scratchboard art. For more information on the St. Paul Art Crawl, go to stpaulartcrawl.org. And don't miss this Saturday's show at 9 a.m. here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can go solar with All Energy Solar, even way up north in Minnesota. Lots of people ask them, isn't Minnesota too cloudy for solar? No. The truth? For one thing, Minneapolis gets nearly as much sun each year as Houston, Texas. But it isn't just about how much sun you get. It's also about having access to great local incentive programs that make solar affordable. Learn what your options are to save with solar and visit allenergysolar.com today.
Have you tuned in to Mission Accomplishers yet? Saturdays at 7 p.m., hosted by the fellas Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson. You don't want to miss out, so subscribe on your podcast app of choice, Apple, Google, Stitcher. We release extended editions of the show, talks, interviews that you can only find via podcast. Pull up Apple Podcasts now, type in Mission Accomplishers, subscribe, rate us, and give feedback, and we'll read your feedback on the air. Mission Accomplishers, Saturdays at 7 p.m. on AM 950.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. EatLocalMinnesota.com. Restaurant of the week is the Nightingale. Fantastic place. If you haven't been over there, their sharing plates are just amazing. Now, they have sharing plates, but they also have individual plates. So if you're like me and I don't like sharing, you can have your own food. But they have also all the great food. The great fall menu is on in. They've got wonderful vegetarian options as well. 2551 Lindale Avenue in Minneapolis. That's Lindale Avenue South. It is Nightingale, the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. David is the trucker. It's David the trucker. David, where are you driving right now?
I'm in Louisiana right now.
All right.
But, thanks for letting me speak on your show, Matt.
My pleasure, man.
I think you're wrong.
Uh-oh.
I think that Trump has a chance because it's not who votes. It's who counts the votes or who can manipulate the votes. And we have all these systems where they're, you know, you can't trace anything. And hand-marked, hand-counted paper ballots are the way we should be going nationwide.
Well, and we do that here in Minnesota. We have actual hand ballots, and you can count. There's a lot of states that don't. David, let me.
One out of 50.
Well, but there's a lot actually that do. But no, you're right. There are a lot of states that are susceptible. But David, wouldn't you agree that at this point, with this revelation, I mean, McConnell doesn't have any damn excuse anymore to hold back on that election funding, and
well,
you know,
they've already let the money go. They've already, you know, assigned the money.
Oh, so he,
part is already done.
I know. I know that was early this week that he had basically conceded that he was going to get that money back. But at the same time, I think, you know, do you think that especially like Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, you honestly feel as if you know, Trump is trailing in those states by 25 points, that on every poll there, that if all of a sudden he pulls out a 1-point victory, that you're just that people are just going to shrug and say, I think it's going to be a lot like North Carolina, that one district down there where it was so clear there was fraud. If he tries something like this, it's going to be so bad that I think you're going to look at people saying that there's no way. Even the Republicans in North Carolina said that there was no way in the world that that election could have come out like that.
Prove it.
All right. Well, they did. And they did. David, they did. Thank you very much, David. Drive safe, my friend. Enjoy Louisiana. They did prove it in North Carolina. And, you know, would I put it past the Republicans in Wisconsin? I mean, I have zero doubt Wisconsin Republicans have manipulated ballot counts. I have zero doubt in my mind. If you look at how their entire system works, I think it's without a doubt. And I mean, that's a state where they definitively could have handed Trump the state. It was close enough. And I think there are enough corrupt people in their county election offices that can, you know, do that. But once again, I'm going to fall back to what I've said before. My House rep in Minnesota is Cheryl Youakim. My senator is Ron Latz. A+ right there. My House rep is Ilhan Omar. A+ there. My two senators are Amy Klobuchar, Tina Smith. A+. Tim Walz is my governor. I can only do so much, dude. We got paper ballots. Steve Simon, Secretary of State, great Secretary of State. We've got a fairly secure security election system here. I can't take care of Wisconsin. I can't take care of Iowa. I can't take care of the Dakotas. I can't take care of the rest of these states. The people there have to get angry enough to where they force the change. And in Wisconsin, they have to defeat the gerrymandered system by voting out these Republicans. Mind you, when the Republicans do finally lose their majority in Wisconsin, there will not be a shredding machine that is not running 24/7, 365 for weeks before they're out of office. But at the same time, that's the only way you can fix this. And the reality is, too, 110 million registered voters sat out this last election. You are not, if you get 30 million more people to vote than you had in 2016, you will take every house in this country, every state house, the U.S. House, the Senate, will all be overwhelming Democratic majorities, and the presidency will be a Democrat, too. And so if you want to fix this stuff, well, there you start. But I can only do so much. I can encourage you. I'm not going to be a naysayer. I'm not going to be one of these people that's like, well, Trump's going to win anyway. He's going to win, so I quit. Shut up. No, seriously, shut up. Seriously, shut up. I don't like quitters. And you want to be a quitter, go be a quitter somewhere else. But the reality is I'm damn tired. As a veteran, I'm damn tired of seeing my country get abused like this. And we are not going to cure the age of greed until we throw these smarmy jackasses out of office. And when every one of these Republicans sits there and says, I don't know why these Democrats are so upset. You don't. You really don't. And there's going to be hell to pay on this. And it's, you know, right now it's 2019. It's September, late September 2019. It's going to be interesting come around March or April what these same Republicans are saying at that point. Needless to say, you don't. This is the problem the founding fathers had was never anticipating a political party being in charge of a large portion of government where the priority for them was the political party over country. And that is the Republican Party today. They care more about their political party than they do about the country. And every one of them is the same way. There is not a single Republican in this country right now that if Obama had done one-tenth, one-one-hundredth of what Trump has done, wouldn't be screaming for his immediate removal from office. Yet they're all hypocrites, and they're all, I don't know what the big deal is. He got caught a second time trying to get a foreign country to interfere in our election. What's the big deal? You all are hypocrites. Hypocrites. And you're just trying desperately to find some way to blame the incompetence that is on full display for all of us to see on the Democrats. And it's not. It is your guy. This is your mess. You're the ones that are eating the crap sandwiches and insisting it's filet mignon. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. As a matter of fact, the DFL put out 5 questions for Minnesota Republicans. That's pretty good. Is it acceptable for a foreign government to interfere in a U.S. elections? Is it acceptable for any president of the United States to ask a foreign government to interfere in U.S. elections? Is it acceptable for any president of the United States to withhold important military aid from an ally in order to pressure that country to interfere in a U.S. election? Do you believe the allegations should be thoroughly investigated to determine the truth or falsehood? And is it acceptable for President Trump to threaten the government officials who provided information to a whistleblower and demand their unmasking? Interesting. Those are very legit questions. And Republicans are, I've already had like three Republicans look at me and say today, God, man, why do you always have to talk politics? Can't we talk about the Vikings? The Twins are in the playoffs, man. Why are you so focused on politics all the time? We could talk the Twins. Oh, how about an even more depressing story? And this is really just god-awful. Back in 2017, a 72-year-old Marine Corps veteran moved into his new home. It was a place called Chappie's Golden Shores, an assisted living facility in Hill City, Minnesota, run by Teresa Lee Olson and several members of her family. He would need plenty of care and attention. He'd been diagnosed with a traumatic brain injury, pressure ulcers, a case of pneumonia that never quite went away, and the lingering effects of a stroke. His name wasn't been released to the public, but in a lengthy complaint filed against Chappie's on Monday, he was called R.M. Quick, warning. The story of it at the time that it does not well end for him, and the details are pretty disturbing. By 2018, he was developed a bed sore on his tailbone. Hospice care nurses told the staff that Chappie's, he would have to be repositioned every 2 hours so he didn't spend too much time sitting on his wound, and of course, it would have to be kept clean. Former Chappie staff said that isn't what happened, that RM was left to sit in his sore for hours, even left to stew in his own soiled underwear. There were nights where everyone went to sleep and RM was left to languish until morning, days when he'd be dumped in a recliner and end up soaked in urine and waste from his mid-back to his knees, according to the complaint. His wound worsened. He started coughing and wheezing. Pus oozed from his catheter. His temperature was high. His blood pressure was low, and he was vomiting. By the time he was finally airlifted to St. Mary's intensive care unit, he was described by a nurse as filthy and unkempt, and what appeared to be a cigarette burn in his arm, a filthy catheter, and a groin caked in yeast. The wound on his back was black and so foul it could be smelled throughout the entire 9-bedroom ICU. The nurses started using masks and Vicks vapor rub to combat the odor. He died there at the hospital after his organs gave way to septic shock. According to the complaint, RM isn't the only resident at Chappie's to end up neglected and hurt. He was reportedly a man who didn't get checked out regularly by a nurse and ended up in the hospital with brain bleed, a woman with balancing issues who slipped on an icy deck and was not treated for her broken hip for hours, a paralyzed man who had complained of multiple UTI infections and the occasional splitting pain when his supply of meds ran dry, and the list goes on. By the end of 2018, the state had restarted relocating Chappie's residents to other homes. By early 2019, the facility was officially under investigation. What officials reportedly found in over a million pages of evidence and dozens of interviews surpassed even the grisly accounts of mistreatment. According to the Minnesota Attorney General's office, Teresa and certain members of her staff not only subjected their residents to neglect, but scammed Minnesota's Medicaid program out of $2 million since 2017 by billing for health care services were either not covered or not rendered. At certain points in the past 2 years, former staff said there wasn't a single registered nurse on staff at all. Once the state started poking around, Teresa and her husband conspicuously withdrew a whopping $1.7 million from Chappie's bank account. To make matters worse, staff members allegedly scrambled to forge official documents and conceal evidence of fraud. A dry erase board seized by investigators seemed to contain a script for employees to follow when officials asked them questions about what was going on. After the Department of Health summarily yanked away their license, the complaint says Teresa just sold it to her daughter for a dollar. It was reopened on Monica's name and reopened Mount Royal. The state wouldn't approve it for licensures, but Teresa and her crew kept running the place anyway. In July, Monica claimed in Aca County Court that it was totally above board, as Mount Royal was just an apartment complex and didn't provide health care services. That's not what residents say, according to a complaint. Apartments complex staff, after all, don't usually give you meds or bathe you. The whole thing amounted to, as the complaint says, a long-running scheme to defraud Medicare program, all on the backs of suffering residents. Thanks to reams of paperwork, surveillance footage, and we now know what happened to RM. 10 people, including Teresa, Monica, several other members of the Olson family, and other management and staff members have been charged with a combined total of 76 counts of manslaughter, assault, neglect, racketeering, theft, and more, plus perjury for attempting to cover it up. Ugh. Wow. This is going to become a crime we are going to hear more and more of, because I guarantee you right now in the state of Minnesota, there are probably 10 more facilities kind of like this. Might not be as bad, but getting close. Getting close. We remember when we talked about the mobile home park where the guy wasn't even taking care of that? Never underestimate the desire by people's greed for money and what it will drive them to do to other human beings in their quest for wealth. Never underestimate that. This is going to be a story we hear repeated over and over and over again. And by all means, if you do have an adult, a family member who's in a care facility, do not hesitate to go up there and keep tabs on things. Make sure medications are being administered, wounds are being taken care of, because, oh man, that is that. And as a veteran too, to the thought of That's how a 72-year-old Marine Corps vet went out. That's disgusting. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Legal issues, never fun, and they're certainly stressful. While it's tempting just to Google your legal situation, there is a better way. The Hennepin County Bar Association. Their referral counselors can answer many of your questions, like, do you even need an attorney? And if you do, what type? They can connect you to a network of over 200 thoroughly vetted, qualified attorneys practicing in over 50 areas of law. Call 612-752-6666 or search for Hennepin County Bar Association. The right call for the right lawyer.
Hi, this is Chad from AM 950. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the metro. Ryan is so excited about working with AM 950 and our listeners that he wants to help us grow.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. I was friends with Chad long before I started marketing with him. I was a bit skeptical of radio advertising before Chad convinced us to run ads. The advertising's been so successful, we want to help the station grow. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners of AM 950, and we all know how extremely important this radio station is to the community. To help AM 950 grow this summer, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to follow, engage, share, and interact on the AM 950 social media platforms. Together, we can all work to ensure AM 950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. We stand by our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. For a free estimate or more information on our financing, call 612-333-SNAP or check us out online.
Hello, Seaver here, inviting you to our beautiful new location. Bring the family and join the fun at Minnesota's largest corn maze and fall festival. We're open every weekend now through November 3rd. Get tickets and info online at seaversfallfestival.com.
Hi, my name is Frank Brown, owner of Minuteman Press Uptown, and I'd like to tell you why you should choose us for all your printing needs. While it's true Minuteman Press Uptown provides the highest quality printing services and graphic design, there's another important reason why you should choose us. We share your values. We believe our employees are a vital part of our success. At Minuteman Press Uptown, I set out to create jobs with a living wage and benefits. I believe in second chances for people who've made mistakes in the past. We're a proud union shop and would love to earn your business.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. Frank and his team at Minuteman Press Uptown are AM 950's go-to for all printing and promotional needs. I was blown away by the knowledge and passion Minuteman Press Uptown had to help me grow my business. Even if you're not sure where to start, their graphic design team can create an effective campaign and strategy to increase your visibility. So choose a print shop who shares your values. They work with businesses, nonprofits, and political campaigns. Call 612-870-0777 or visit mpuptown.com.
We're breaking out this time.
I'm just doing an update just to see if there's any new headlines. Michael Cohen has Ukraine info. Okay. Oh, by the way, it should be mentioned two other people that are in big trouble. Bill Barr is the attorney general. He got this whistleblower complaint, and even though he's mentioned all in it, and it clearly is something wrong, his Department of Justice decided not to investigate. And then also Secretary of State Pompeo, because Rudy keeps saying that he's got all this information saying the Secretary of State, the State Department sent him over there. That would put Pompeo on the chopping block, too. So, oh, warm, warm thoughts here. Hey, speaking of warm thoughts, how about some family fun over at Seaver's Fall Festival? I've got a pair of tickets right now to give away. Caller number 5-952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Caller number 5, if you haven't won in a while, you can win yourself a pair of tickets to Seaver's Fall Festival down their new location down in Shakopee. It is just great family fun, and now that we're into the cooler weather, it's just this is what you need to do on the fall weekends. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Caller 5, Eric, let's give them a pair of tickets. I am very bothered by the end of the Soap Factory. And if you don't know what the Soap Factory was an artist workspace and display place over on in the St. Anthony area across the river in downtown Minneapolis. It was an incredibly important element of an art community that you're going to have a strong art community, a place for post-college artists to be able to work on their art as well as to be able to display their art. And, you know, one of the big problems is, I mean, MIA, Walker, they do a magnificent job at trying to get some of these young and upcoming artists out there. But with the size of the city, there's a lot of artists that cannot get in. And, you know, it's, you know, I know a lot of people who are artists who the Soap Factory was a place for them to be able to get their art on display, seen. They had workspaces for artists upstairs. I went off a few years ago when, due to mismanagement, they started getting into trouble over there. And the first thing I'm convinced of this, and from people I knew behind the scenes, there seemed to be an element of the Soap Factory's machinations. How about I say it like that? Of the machinations. Where they were trying to figure out a way, because if you haven't been down to the St. Anthony side of downtown Minneapolis on the river there, the development over there is insane. Every piece of land. I mean, when they moved in 87, no one wanted to be over there. It was homeless people in empty buildings. And now it's all desirable. Everyone wants to build like crazy on that portion of the river. And so the desire for the land the Soap Factory was on started to rise, and they said, "Oh no, we're still committed." But I mean, you could see that there were some problems there that were showing signs that there was ulterior motives in place. At least from my perspective, from my impression, it was going on. But they still kept trying, and I think it's because there was so much initial blowback that they, wait a minute, here you're gonna do this. I don't understand. A few years ago when they got rid of Haunted Basement. Now, Haunted Basement, if you didn't know, was their big moneymaker. It was their biggest event. It was a Halloween haunted house they did down there. The artists were creepy. That place, it was a creepy setup. But it was wildly popular. It was wildly popular. When they moved that out of the Soap Factory, that's why it's like you can't get rid of your number one event and expect to survive. And so at that point, whether or not that it was what the motivations were, I'm sure the most earnest of excuses, well, gee willikers, we really tried. And then tomorrow someone's going to buy that building and it's going to be torn down and it's going to be rebuilt as massive mansions and condos, or not even mansions, but condos and a big tower.
Luxury apartments. Those silver orange.
Exactly. And, you know, you'll have people spending a ton of money to live there. I'm sure your excuses are all earnest. But we've lost an incredibly important element of the Minneapolis art scene. And for God's sakes, if we don't find a replacement for it, then we as a society suffer. When we don't have a strong arts community, we as a society suffer. And that's all arts. Yeah, that's Requiem for the Soap Factory. Go rinse off at this point. Vic from St. Paul. Congratulations, Vic. You've got yourself a pair of tickets to the Seavers Fall Festival. Kids, I'm sure we'll have a brand new scandalrific show tomorrow on this. And the question you just need to keep asking yourself is, how come the Republicans haven't turned on this guy yet? We'll talk about that tomorrow. Till then, see ya.